college vice. I'm about to see the light. This is half three hearts. The baseball game is about to start. Nope, there's a 6-hour rain delay. Albernator, birds and gators. Panama Canal has got a savior. Zach hates Matt, Big Ben Brad. I just took you to Pound Town with a strap. Dab.
Let's go. Let's get ready. Fall camp is here, and it is fall camp, not summer camp. It's time for the Barncast. Welcome in Kyle Rush, Darryl Dabrich. We may have another guest here shortly, but we are ready to talk fall camp. There he is, Brad Law from the Mobile Law Studios.
Yeah, I don't know
how this is going to work. We're going to try the first time we're trying it from home with the new setup.
It already looks like the camera is awful.
It's not bad.
The camera looks like I spent a nickel on it. What is this even?
Yeah, I can't help you there.
Okay,
but regardless. It's fall camp. Fall camp starts now, and it is fall camp, Brad, correct? It's not summer camp. It's fall camp.
Even though we're as close to the beginning of summer as we are to the end of summer, yeah, that is what it's called. It's and even though classes aren't in session yet.
It's correct.
Maybe we should call it summer. Why don't we just call it preseason camp and be like the NFL?
OTAs or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been doing the OTAs.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
They've been doing that, so now we're on Now we're on preseason camp.
Preseason camp. Yes. Let's just go with that.
I like it.
So just a quick schedule of events. Tuesday you have press conferences. You hear from Golish and both of the coordinators. And then practice starts on Wednesday. And I think we have three media viewing periods, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, which is pretty crazy. I feel like if you get four or five the whole preseason camp, that's cool. You're happy, and we get three viewing periods next week. So, really, really fun stuff. I got a couple of storyline, or I got a couple of questions I want to pitch out to you guys that are going to be storylines to watch. But I want to jump right in. What position battle are you looking forward to, or you are the most interested in seeing how it will play out this preseason camp? Dap, I'll start with you. Hit me with yours.
Man, mine that I'm the most interested in is because it changed. I really thought it was done, sealed, delivered 2 weeks ago. And with Golish proclaiming Gavin Jenkins a future NFL corner and some stuff that I've heard of how well he's looked at and what they think of him, I'm actually, you know, thinking about the corners. And one other caveat to that, if Champ Anthony moves to outside corner. Yeah. Now you've got Jordan, Anthony, Pleasant, Jenkins. So to me, that's the battle. Anthony's going to slot in somewhere. But what if he is an outside corner? Then that battle becomes really intriguing to me.
Are you assuming that one side's locked up with Andre?
I think Jordan, although not very flashy, just everything I've heard and spoken to some people that, you know him from his UCLA days, just a very, like, you don't notice him. He's just solid. He locks down that side of the field. He's good at pass breakups. PBUs are his thing. And he's just not flashy, but he's just solid and reliable. And I love that in a corner.
Brad, how about you? Or do you want to have any comments on that? Or do you have another position group that you're looking at as far as battles go?
Yeah, that one's an interesting one for sure. And I think it's, you know, when Auburn signed Bryson Washington, I kind of thought because of how many running backs they use or Golish has used at other stops. I kind of thought the running backs would be 1A, 1B. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd have two starters. I'm curious to see if that's the case. Now, some of that is not preseason camp. Some of that is we'll see how the season plays out. But does Bryson Washington look like a guy who can get close to the same number of carries as Jeremiah Cobb? You know, like, so position defining a little bit. That or tight end number two. Because if somebody other than Jake Johnson is a worthy, you know, can be in every play of a drive because they don't substitute, you know, Dazarlo Sportingham or, you know, one of the other guys. Is there a tight end too? Do we run two tight end sets? Are we able to do that and be unique? Golish referred to that a couple of weeks ago at Media Days about being more unique than they've been the last 4 or 5 years. So running back, but not necessarily the starter. Tight end, but not necessarily the first starter.
Yeah, RB2 to me was the one that I was looking at. Have y'all ever heard of a coach single out a guy as hard as I feel like Golish has Bryson twice now? He did after spring, and then he's done it again just recently about really encouraging in quotation marks. Does that say anything? Like maybe that's the more desirable 1B scenario versus the others, or is that just a coach lighting a fire under somebody? Like, is there anything more to read into that? Because that's like a name he has specifically called him a chubby butt in spring. And then, you know, said some, basically he's still not there yet. He's not all the way there yet as far as being in shape.
Yeah. What we don't know is, did he do that in Tampa? Did he do that in Knoxville? Did he do that in Ames? Like, is that part of his coaching style?
Correct.
Did it happen and we just didn't know because we weren't following everything that came out of Alex Golish's mouth over the last, you know, 10 years of his coaching career? I think he's kind of, you know, in 8 months we've seen he's a player's coach. He's really comfortable just kind of talking to guys, real matter-of-fact locker room style. And I think if you told me that's what this is, that's reasonable to me.
And, you know, you asked me that question, have I ever heard that? The only concerning thing about that is if it is, I think Golish is different than this coach that I'm going to mention, and I think his motivations are different. What's up? But remember, I remember Brian Harsin really, really going after Zach Calzada a lot in the preseason and pointing things out that he was doing wrong at the line of scrimmage and different reads and snap counts and stuff. And, you know, we saw how that turned out. So I'm hoping that's not the path that goes down. I'm hoping that's just the way he operates. And that's his way of knowing, hey, I'm going to have Washington and he's going to be a guy that I'm going to count on. He's going to be a big part of this offense. I'm going to try to light a fire a little bit.
Zach, you jumping in, we were talking about most interesting position battle that we're on the lookout for. And Daps was basically the second corner, whoever that's going to be. And
Gavin Jenkins.
With the reemergence of Champ Anthony, like, could he compete there as well? And then Brad mentioned RB2 and tight end 2, which I think are great. Do you have any position other than those that jump out at you?
The one I've talked about the most are both on offense outside of the Gavin Jenkins stuff, if you want to call that a competition. I think the tackle situation is interesting. Like, I think we know who the two tackles are, but I still think they're kind of looking to see who's going to be on each side between Joe Simmons and Stanton Ramil. And then RB2, I think, is fascinating.
Yeah, I do as well. And also, before you jumped on, I talked about how I haven't heard Golish single out another play since he's been at Auburn. I haven't really followed him other places, but I haven't really, there's no other comparison to me as far as like him singling out a player, challenging a player like he has Bryson Washington after spring and then just shortly after SEC Media Days. Is there anything to read into there?
Is he the only one he's called out?
Can you think of another one?
Let's think through that. Jamar Arnaud kind of had one.
He did.
And I think Jeremiah Koger before, like when he met with local media in Tampa. Daryl, didn't that kind of happen?
At the ambush event, he said he gets on him every single day and asks him to be better and give him more.
It's a different tone, though, Kyle, to your credit. It's a different tone, but I do think it's similar. It's worth noting.
That is interesting. Yeah, there was a lot of Shamar or no talk. Remember that random day he was wearing like number 66 at practice, and we were like, what does that mean? Is that some type of punishment?
It's hard not to think that it meant something.
Hey, he's like 20 minutes of bad practice away from being 86th.
Yeah. Brad, what happened to your camera?
It's a great question.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying it from home for the first time, Zach. And I don't have any,
I love that.
Yeah, I don't have any light behind the camera. I don't know if that's a factor. But it looks like somebody in the chat said it looks like the old Jefferson Pilot 11 a.m. telecast. And I agree with that.
It's not that bad.
Hey, can I give a preview of what Village Vice is going to be tomorrow for me and Brad?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Brad, I think we should just do this the whole time.
Oh, that's awesome. Go black and white?
Yeah. And you just talk in your 1920s the whole time.
That would be good.
All right, hang on. I can get there, I think. Maybe I know how to work this thing.
Get us there.
Is that it? That's not it.
No.
No, you're still in Technicolor.
No. All right. Well, we'll get there. Look, first times.
You still have sharpness all the way up.
First times are tough.
Do y'all have a big hot take for this fall camp? What's your biggest hot take?
I just did Locked On. That's like my whole show tomorrow, so y'all do this one.
Dap, do you have a big hot take?
I want to see the narrative go away. For the last couple of years, media has really, really zoned in on quarterback play, whether it's Jackson Arnold not getting the ball out quick enough, whether it's Byron Brown's throwing motion, Calzada, like we talked about. I want to just see that distraction go away and that just be like, oh, that's a solid. We don't have to worry about the quarterback position. Let's focus on something else.
Brad, do you have a hot take for fall camp?
Well, Kyle, thank you for asking. The weather will be hot as a pistol. Yes, it's hot as a firecracker indeed on the loveliest village.
That is a hot take.
Yeah, it's going to that's what I thought you were asking. You're asking for the weather report, good man.
Brad, you need that thing that sits next to you that you like in Seabiscuit where he rings that thing and it makes music.
I forgot, Brad, you're from the 1920s, so you don't understand what hot take means. Do you have a bold prediction, sir? Good sir, for the fall camp.
I think Coach Marr and the Tigers will do very well. Gone are the days of 0-8. Yes, look for Auburn to go 8-0 playing at lovely Auburn Stadium in front of 10,000 people.
What's the best concession product right now?
Hot dogs for a nickel and hot chocolate for a penny. Can't beat it. No siree.
I can't believe he didn't say peanuts. Come on now.
Cracker Jacks?
Cracker Jacks?
It's a real Cracker Jack affair whenever the Tigers take the field.
Oh, my God.
I got y'all. I got one. I don't know how hot this is, but Arliss Boardingham winning tight end two.
Ooh, Brad brought that up, actually. Of that was something that was intriguing to him.
The general.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have one that's like really just super out there. I think that this is not necessarily a hot take for fall camp, but I think this offensive line is probably going to be a smidge less talented than last year, but perform better. And I think we're going to learn that offensive scheme and development and coaching matters way more than talent, and I think they're going to perform better with less talent.
I agree.
That's my hot take.
It's a good one. Here's a hot take, AUShirts.com, for the three people have asked in the chat where you can get Cornbread Gangster shirts.
I'll put the link.
AUShirts.com. Yeah.
I think similar to that, Kyle, if you want just the hottest of hot takes, it's more of a what if than a hot take, but what if defensive end and edge become a position of strength? What if guys in fall camp are so great at putting pressure on the quarterback, and it's not because the tackles are subpar, it's because Jared Smith is that dude. He's just a freak and he's ready to explode onto the scene. And suddenly this area where, you know, we're a little intrepid going into the year, now all of a sudden we're pretty confident about it.
Not only that, what if this ruling that just took place Friday night, and there's an edge in the transfer portal that could come and add some depth to Auburn's roster?
You know, which is interesting, because he would have had to have gone into the portal.
Yeah. The more that I read about that ruling, which he's talking about, I forget her name. I think her last name was Sweeney, was it not? Something like that. This judge ruled that essentially that the 2022 class would be eligible for that fifth year.
Yeah.
So basically anybody that didn't get drafted and they just went through the NFL draft process and maybe even signed as a free agent could potentially come back and play. But there's really not that many people, I think. I think initially it sounded like it was going to open up this huge swath of players that could potentially come back to college football.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry, keep going.
No, I just don't think there's that many. I just don't think there's that many quality. There's going to be that many quality players.
Let's assume that there is, just for the sake of this conversation. Let's assume that there is. And let's look at how Alex Golish handled how this happened in the spring for what we think could be a key player. When you look at, all right, some of these guys who maybe joined late in the process, but we got to make them earn it. We've been through so much without them. We got to see, you know, what's going to happen. So I don't think Golish would do it.
Yeah.
It does seem to go against kind of what he's been building.
I mean, like he made Chris Murray. Daryl, you and I've kind of ranted about it a little bit, where it's like, all right, why, you know, it was his fault, you know, obviously talking about Murray.
Yeah. And it also seems to me that it's a little bit different the way he handles the Ramil situation and the Murray situation. It may be because they're different situations, but Stan Ramil did not participate in crap in the spring, and he's been anointed as a starter by Golish, basically. If you hear him talk at the ambush event, he is. We're going to count on him. He went to Big Ten media days as a freshman. Now, part of that's been because he's been doing off-the-field stuff mm-hmm. with the offensive line.
There, yeah.
He's been there. But he hasn't been on the field, and yet he's kind of been anointed, you know, either starting right tackle or left tackle, depending on where that falls. So I don't know. I don't know if – I'm not saying that you get a guy and plug him in as edge rusher number one, but it sure would be nice to have him as three or four and have some more depth.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's kind of crazy. That gets all dumped on everybody, and we're literally about – I don't even know how people have money to – how do you have any money left to add anybody? Like, how do you have room?
Yeah,
like,
where more basketball than anything
basketball,
else,
right? But yeah. But even basketball, like, you probably have to wait until December, wouldn't you? To start, like, how many people are going to be able to enroll unless it happens within the next 2 weeks before classes start? Like, how would that even work?
Do you have roster? Is your roster at 105? Do you have room on the roster?
Our roster is beyond 105 right now. But I don't know how many of those are considered those designated student athletes that don't count against your number until they graduate.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of the 105 are actually, like, how many of that actual 105 do we have versus what number versus those designated student athletes, which is like the old school name for, I mean, it's the old school walk on that still exists until those folks graduate.
Yeah.
Got a big super chat from Reverend Barn Booster. My opinions may be bold. Eccles becomes one of Byram's favorite red zone targets. Marchese earns rotational snaps by week one.
Woo.
Jacob Strand and Ty Buster cause competition at guard. Reverend out. We can take those one by one. Start with Eccles being potentially one of Byram's favorite red zone targets. Thoughts on that?
Reasonable. I don't think it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end.
I feel like I remember him having a lot of drops in spring. Do you remember that, Zach?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Red zone territory is Byron Brown running territory. So it's not the red zone, it's the brown zone, I think. Ooh. So
quarterback draw is going to feed a lot of families. especially with the linebacker
down zone.
Yeah,
can we never do that again?
Never.
Why not? Why not, Zach? Why?
Made me uncomfortable.
Oh. Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you saying, Dap? Sorry.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, as many times we saw the premature whistle where we saw him would have walked in, and then what he looked like at SEC Media Days as a linebacker, you shouldn't be shy about running quarterback keep, quarterback draw, bootleg, whatever reads, five or six zone reads with him, because he, in my opinion, he'll truck people. It's not even outrunning people. He'll take somebody on at the two and just roll them.
He's going to have to. Like, yeah. Let's just be honest. Like, Byram's going to have to put this team on his back in some situations and just, I think, carry them, no pun intended, to wins. A lot like Lenore Sellers did 2 years ago when he just seemed to kind of willed South Carolina to victory, and a lot of it was with his legs. The second part of that was Marcasey earning rotational snaps by week one.
That's a hot take.
That's a hot take. That's flaming hot.
That's scalding.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
I mean, that's a nuclear bomb.
That's hotter than a Tijuana nacho plate.
What's hotter than – I got a had a good one. I'm not going to repeat it, though.
I did two. Yeah.
I'm yeah. There's a lot of good ones you can have with hotter than.
Yeah.
There's some. You ever heard the one that has to do with two rats?
Yes. Wool okay. sock.
And a wool yes. sock.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Good one.
Yeah.
There's another one about church and the person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's more like that was sweating. My bad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Marcasey, where was he
in high that? School? He would just say, it's hotter than 400. I don't know what it meant, but he just said it all the time.
Well, that's a good, clean, pure way to say it. I like 400. That. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Hotter than a $3 pistol. How about that? Uh-huh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Marcasey earning one's rotational snaps. I would say if that happens, there's been some injuries.
Yes, I agree.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that means anything negative over Marcasey, because I think he's going to be really good in time. I just don't think he's
one of the most yet. Embarrassing things that ever happened to me was doing like multiple shows about him committing and referring to him as Marchese.
Mm-hmm. But Marchese. That's reasonable.
And nobody corrected me.
Yeah, that was reasonable. That
months later, when talking to the SID and he just mentioned Marchese, and I'm like, Marquise. Who's wait, that? Is that how you say it? He's like, yeah.
Okay. That's right. That must be why all of a sudden he started sending us pronunciation guides, like personally. I think that's yeah. why that happened. That
oh, 1,000%.
So I mean, but you got to think Spencer Williams Jr., the kid that came in late, Nayday, remind me, Zach, I keep forgetting his name and I apologize. Receiver that came in way late, made a couple of catches in Nayday.
Deshaun Spencer?
No, it wasn't Spencer.
Corey Pettigrew?
Pettigrew, yeah. So I would
had one catch, but it was very impressive.
Why do I keep thinking he had multiple? Maybe because
like a diving catch.
One really good catch.
But Pettigrew, Spencer, and Brian Williams Jr., I would think, are all ahead of him. And then you've got your Neptunes.
Well, they're different roles, though, right? Like,
yeah, but you still got six.
Is he outside, or is he going to be more of a slot?
I can't remember exactly where he was playing.
I think he was outside.
I think he was too. I think he was behind Corey Pettigrew on the left side, outside wide receiver. I think that's
which was
how
behind Keyshawn,
which is Koger on the left side. Keyshawn's on the right side. Because right. Remember, they don't switch sides. Like the yep. outside receivers stay on the outside that they're on up and down the field.
Once you get past the fifth receiver, though, it's, I mean,
yeah.
Are you getting more than four catches?
But then, he's telling us he wants eight guys in the rotation. So, like, yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Good true. Point.
Then the last part was Jacob Strand and Ty Buster cause a good competition at guard. I don't think that's super hot take. I think Ty Buster caused a great competition this past spring.
Yeah.
Jacob Strand was in a
– Jacob Strand was a person.
Yeah, he was in that non-contact all spring. So
and Slayer, is that his name too? Jack Slayer? I forgot about
Slayer.
Just Slayer.
Yeah.
I forgot they called him Slayer. Slayer's
a great band.
But that was his nickname. Slayer. He's, yeah, I call him Layer the Slayer, so I was right.
That makes sense.
One's from Oregon State, one's from Stanford, right? You got an Oregon State and a Stanford.
Strand is Oregon State, and then Layer is Stanford. Favorite Slayer song, go.
I don't even know one.
Can't name one.
Can't either.
I don't, I mean.
I just when I hear Slayer, I think of Halo 3 and the guy go, Slayer.
I'm going to go with Dead Skin Mask. That's a Slayer.
I don't think I've even heard a Slayer song in my life.
Listen, guys. Hey, Lou Holtz here. I'm a big fan of Dead Skin Mask and Slayer. Slayer's one of my favorite groups. There's not. Listen, I'd be in that weight room in South Bend, the old one, not this new one that everybody's raving about on social media. But I'd be in that old weight room with the cassette tape of Slayer, and I was knocking out squats and bicep curls and what else, shoulder presses, and just listening to Slayer, man. It was fantastic.
Thinking about Lou Holtz listening to Slayer, listening to Dead Skin Mask.
Fantastic.
Scott Chapman, member for a month. Welcome, man. We want Zach to say War Eagle. We've never heard him say it.
I say it. It's a thing that I say.
Say it, Zach.
Say it now.
Say it right now.
It feels gross to say it right now.
I'm like, you ever seen the movie Bloodsport? We know Zach hasn't. Brad probably has. You've seen Bloodsport, right, Brad?
Can I show you all a card of the day?
Yeah. Bloodsport is Lou Holtz's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Is it about boxing or something?
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh yeah.
This card's sick. So great.
If you can't see, it's Cam Newton and Bo Jackson.
Oh, wow.
Same card. Auto something.
It's number to five.
Called Invincible.
It's number to five, but it's the only one to ever sell publicly. So it's like the only one graded. And I love it so much.
Was it hotter than Danica Patrick, Kyle? I haven't seen Danica Patrick in a long time. She's still pretty good looking.
Say it, Zach, or I speak in the Family Guy voice.
It's just two little words.
Gosh, I hate it so much.
That's probably your best impression.
I got a whole freezer full of popsicles.
I think the reason that voice makes me so uncomfortable is like the only reason that would be like he'd be so good at that is like he talks like that sometimes. And it makes me uncomfortable.
I think
War Eagle, Zach. This could have been over a long time ago.
Y'all, I think Brad is just one of those guys that can just do impressions. Like,
yeah, some people have that gift.
Oh, man.
Oh, when we go off, when we stop, Brad, there's one that you've got to do. There's one that you've got to do. And I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Okay. All right. So not for public, not for the general public, but just for the four of us.
It'll make sense.
All right. Fine.
Brad, this guy spent like, I mean, Zach, he spent like $10. You need to just say War Eagle.
Say War Eagle?
Yeah.
He said it.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah. But I do say it.
Why do you say it, Zach?
I say it all the time.
Now that I think about it, I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say it.
You know what? I think it is too.
Man, I can't really remember him ever saying it either.
I think Zach's the reason them guys on ESPN 106.7 never say War Eagle at the end of interviews. Like, Zach started it. He started the whole thing.
Yeah, Zach, I'm that hates influential when it comes to local radio. That's me. They really like me over there, so I've heard.
Can anyone – I mean, Zach hates Auburn, basically. Is that what we're saying?
That's it. That's it.
All right, I think we're done with the hot takes and all that stuff. Position battle.
War Eagle, everybody.
War Eagle. We're not done with the show, but we're done with that particular topic. I got another one, and I want to talk about guys returning from injury, and specifically
DeMarcus Riddick.
Who do we think has the tallest hill to climb to make an impact this year? You got guys like you just mentioned DeMarcus Riddick. Right. You got Christian Neptune, Champ Anthony. There's quite a few guys that sat out all of spring. Love to hear your thoughts in the chat as well. Who's got the tallest hill to climb? Like, who's behind the eight ball?
Really, I think it's Neptune. I think it's Neptune, Kyle, because of how many other guys are at that position. Like, Stanton Ramil's a starting tackle as long as he stays healthy. Champ Anthony's a starter in the rotation in the secondary somewhere. As long as he stays healthy, I think, you know, Christian's he needs a really great camp to find a spot. Even if he's trying, I know Goller says he wants eight guys in the rotation. That just doesn't happen much in SEC football. So, yeah, Christian's my guy.
Christian's a good one, and it's not necessarily anything to do with him, and it's everything to do with all the guys that got opportunities after he got injured. You know, guys like Deshaun Spencer and Bryce Kane and those guys that got opportunities, and then you saw what Deshaun did in the A-Day game. That's a really good one, and I have wondered – he did start out as number one. He did start out as the number one guy. He did even start out as, I think, one of the top punt returners. So does he just slide comfortably back into that role? Or is it say, hey, it's open season. Like, you got to go win it again.
I think that anything that I've kind of gleaned from Golish is you've got to go back and earn it again. I don't think he's in the – business of handing it, unless you're Stanton Ramil. And I think that's because that's such a position, not only, I mean, receivers, but it's such a position of need where Almer's a little bit thin. But I think he's going to make him go back and earn it. And that, and that's why I think my segue is what Zach said. I agree with Zach. It's the people that got the opportunities when Riddick was out last year that emerged, the Diaz, Bryce Diaz, and some of these other guys, I think. It's why it's going to see where do you fit him back in on the field.
That's the question. Is who has like the toughest to come back from?
The toughest hill to climb, I guess, to get back on the field, get your position back.
Oh, I've got one.
Mine's DeMarcus Riddick too. Like I do think, gosh, with the emergence of Elijah Melendez, who could be the breakout player, who's Brad's breakout player of the year. I'm a sleeper. Sleeper. Is that right?
Yeah, sleeper pick. Sleep on Elijah all you want to.
I think Daryl predicted like a good year for Jeremiah Cobb. Like, what a take.
to Daryl's credit, he's been riding Cobb since he like.
Oh yeah, no, I'm that was a.
What I'm saying is, I think he emerges to improve on the stats he had last year.
Yeah, no, Daryl, you didn't call him a sleeper. Brad's calling him a sleeper.
I'm calling Elijah. Yeah, that was the joke. Unironically, 3 months ago, I called him a sleeper.
My answer to this question is Rashawn Pleasant.
Is he coming back from injury? He just got the tallest.
He missed the tail end of spring?
I don't remember that. I think I do remember him missing the A-Day game. I guess that would be the tail end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, talk me through it. Talk me through it, Zach. It's because Gavin Jenkins.
There's an NFL corner there.
In front of him, yeah.
Yep. And I'm just quoting Alex Golish. I'm not.
Didn't make those terms. You did not create that term.
You imagine what it would look like if when they released the depth charts in Atlanta and it's Champ Anthony at one corner and Gavin Jenkins at the other and Pleasant and Jordan are like number two? And that's who we had. Well, I had all along in the offseason as the starting corners.
Yeah, I don't think there's a way Andre Jordan doesn't start. I think it'd be more likely to be Andre Jordan and Champ, but
I've heard that
Gavin Jenkins is an NFL corner. Like,
I've heard Gavin Jenkins is so good, they're not even going to have an or behind his name. It's just going to be Gavin Jenkins. What year was that when everybody was an or? Like the whole – was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Should have known we were going to be trash as soon as
it was brutal. It was like or the running backs position or because remember Damari Alston and Jeremiah Cobb or God. You know it was
this is kind of spooky, but yes, I did. I love Spider-Man, man.
I'm going tomorrow night.
No spoilers. It's pretty good though.
Pretty pumped.
Next time, just stop him and say hello.
Guy Publix told me hello today. That was kind of
say,
cool.
Hey, are you Kyle? Say, yes, I am.
I'm sorry, the P.
Yeah.
All right. So you got, we had DeMarcus Riddick, which is a really good one.
Can I list the frustration when it comes to us talking about Riddick?
Yeah.
How have we, as a group of people that I think are fairly funny and like lighthearted, and all of us fathers, how have we never called this linebacker room ridiculous?
Because it hasn't been yet.
It hasn't. It's not been yet.
It was last year. It's the same room.
Yeah, but he's not. I feel like you can only call it that if he's right. The focal point.
Yep. I agree. Now, I think if it becomes a ridiculous room.
It could be.
Sure could be.
I don't want to speak it into existence. That's why. I don't even want to entertain the thought.
Of what?
Ridiculous.
I would love for it to be ridiculous.
Because no, you hate pun? I don't think you guys are catching the pun unless I'm reading too much into it.
Not
I'm Riddick. Saying Riddick less.
Not Riddick.
Is that what you're saying, Zach? No. Riddick less, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. No, I'm you said like funny, like lighthearted. Ridiculous. I thought you were making a dad joke.
No, he was saying ridiculous.
Last year it was ridiculous. Awesome.
Yeah,
he's saying ridiculous in a good way. It's like when we used to say sometimes. DAP kids will say when they say something's bad, that doesn't mean that it's actually bad. It means it's actually good. It's
I know.
It's a weird thing they do.
Really? Because I don't know who Michael Jackson is, and I didn't know that song went to number one for about 58 weeks. But you're right, Kyle. Absolutely. I've only met him and got his autograph. But you're right. Keep going. You're right.
Come on, man. That was a good one.
I didn't know that.
Guys, let's don't be ridiculous, okay? Let's don't be ridiculous.
Who's hey, bad? I'm bad.
Here's a hot take.
All right.
If somehow DeMarcus Riddick gets into the playing rotation, it makes our defense better.
For sure.
Because he has the highest ceiling athletically of any of those linebackers, in my opinion, athletically.
And we've seen flashes. See, that's the thing. He's teased us. We've seen little trailers at the movie theater his freshman year when they just said, go get the quarterback. And he closed faster than any human being I've seen live close on a quarterback.
I wish we would just do that
again. Yeah, he closed 10 yards. It was like zip the flash. He was there.
Yeah, like why can't we just do like
that was ridiculous.
I hate that it does kind of pigeonhole him, but like just if that's what he's good at.
But that's a role that you pigeonhole people for.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Violent headhunter?
Millions and millions of dollars for the next 10 years.
Is that not what, like a Harold Perkins, is that not kind of the role that he played at times at LSU?
He played the run a little better, I think. But
yeah, I mean, he was a freak.
Yeah, he played the run like.
Is a freak.
He's let me go back to this though. Like 20 years ago at Auburn, Trey Blackmon wasn't a run stopping linebacker.
Let's go more recent. Jeff Holland was incredible.
Violent headhunter.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
works.
You're right. I'll go back to this. This was funny. Zach's top life moments: watching the kick six, listening to Maroon 5.
Oh, it's stuff like this where it's like I forget what all we talk about. Like I don't know when the last time Brad, have we talked about Maroon 5 like this year at all? Like
how you and I up? Haven't. No, that's come up somewhere else. That's not been a Village Vice.
I don't remember.
That must be a throwback locked on Auburn topic.
I'll tell you what was not in Zach's top three.
I love
three
Maroon
moments.
5. I don't remember talking about it.
I'll tell you what's not in Zach's top three life moments: saying War Eagle. That's not in the top three.
I don't. That's not I don't in like a, this.
That's not in his top 10 sayings, like things that you say.
I say it all. Funny though. I don't want to. Never mind. I don't want to say. It. I can't.
No, go ahead. Do it.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can tell the story.
Oh, he's come back from Chicago. Tentative. He's come back from.
What
his
do
trip
people
up north.
When people are calling you? Go ahead.
So okay. So when I got into radio, Andy Burcham taught me everything.
Yeah.
I learned under Andy Burcham, and he just told me not to say it because like when you're covering the team or whatever, he's like, don't say it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I just, it's what Andy told me to do. So I don't say it on interviews.
Yeah. But no, that's true. When you are an objective. Yeah.
Now, obviously reporter. Andy works for Auburn and is the voice of the team. So obviously that's different now, but that is why.
I don't think it's appropriate if you're interviewing an Auburn player or coach to ever finish with War Eagle. I think that takes away. That seems like such a fanboy thing to do. If you're having like an interview and you're trying to get good information to your listeners, and at the end of it, you're like War Eagle. I something about that to me cheapens it and sounds fanboyish.
We are fan. I'm a fanboy.
If you go to Hawaii and you interview somebody in Hawaii, Do you say aloha or do you not? Because it's customary in that region to say aloha.
Wow. I don't think I would say aloha.
I don't think I would either. Because no. that's me being something I'm not. I normally don't use aloha in my vernacular, so I don't know if I would pull that out.
But you're normally not in Hawaii. I could see you, though, just ripping a strong aloha, though.
Me?
With, like, lays on you with, like, with a button-down shirt. It's only got, like, two buttons buttoned. I could just see
it would sound like, oh, yeah, but it would be aloha.
How would that sound?
No, I'm not doing it because somebody on this chat is going to be – someone on this broadcast would be very, very uncomfortable if I did it, so I'm not doing it.
Zach, you talked about it 2 weeks ago. When you named your top five bands.
What show was that on? Was that here?
Somebody said it was a post show.
Yeah, I think it was a Vice post show, now that they mention it.
Which, if you guys got to watch those. But you have to subscribe to the premium.
Did Brad list his top five bands? Because I don't remember either of us talking about that.
No, it was just a question for you. Nobody cares about my top five bands. It was just a you thing.
Well, let's hear it right now, Zach. I mean, Brad, what's your top five bands?
Michael Jackson... boy, I don't
start
know.
Start with five or one?
Michael's one.
Okay, solid.
No particular order. Just give us five.
Okay. John Mayer's in there. Springsteen is in there. Aerosmith.
You feel like an AC/DC guy to me.
And
they make
the list? No, give but you know what? They're probably a top 10. And Boozy, huh?
Can I give mine?
Give me three Springsteen songs to listen to. I don't know if I've ever listened to a Springsteen song.
They might get
Man. The Rising?
Born in the USA.
Oh, that's him?
Dancing in the Dark, where young Courtney Cox made her debut.
Nobody guessed
Friends
that.
On the stage. Did you know that? Did you know that, Zach?
Did y'all just insult me and I missed it?
No. In Dancing in the Dark.
They're laughing at something else that we're not a part of.
No, okay. You were a part of it. Brad just dropped his number five and nobody caught it. It was hilarious.
Who
Lil
was Boozy. It?
Lil Boozy.
All right. I want to give mine. So good. I really do want to give mine.
Give Journey. Journey's a good one.
You two. The Eagles. Michael Jackson, New Edition.
New Edition?
New Edition?
Yes.
Okay. I've never heard of them. What kind of music are they?
R&B. They sang a song called If It Isn't Love. They sang Can You Stand the Rain? Cool It Now? Right. Mr. Telephone Man.
Y'all remember when Apple was like, let's put a U2 song on everybody's phone?
Yes. And that was the suckiest album. That wasn't even a good album.
It wasn't a song, my guy. It was the whole album.
It was the whole album?
Yeah.
Man. Is there anybody in the chat who likes New Edition? I want to see if there's someone out there.
It changed how I think about YouTube. I'm like, oh, they're con artists. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
They're in my phone. They're in my iTunes library for forever.
The YouTube mafia is coming after Zach.
You cannot delete that album. It's in there.
I've tried.
I like old YouTube. I don't like their new crap.
Yeah.
So you weren't stoked when it just popped up on your phone?
No, I was like, get this off of my head.
Still haven't found what I'm looking for is a fantastic
song. It is an incredible song.
It's great.
And so is Bad. If anyone wants to hear the ultimate U2 song, download Bad and listen to it. It's great.
That's a Michael Jackson song, Daryl.
No, it's...
Oh.
In this scenario that Kyle was referring to, this song Bad is bad.
You guys will like this. One quick Michael Jackson note, because this did all start because of Ella Langley and the conversation about how Zach didn't know.
That's right.
Wasn't familiar with Ella Langley. So it's all coming back to us now. But did you know that the guy who plays bass on a lot of early Michael Jackson stuff, name is Lewis Johnson. His nickname was Thunder Thumbs. That's a true story.
How about this?
That'd be so cool to be named Thunder Thumbs.
I agree.
Thunder guitar name would be awesome.
Does anybody know out of this group who did the guitar solo in Beat It?
It was Slash, wasn't it? No, it was Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen did it for free.
Yep.
Wow.
And they said, why? And he said, because Michael Jackson didn't offer to pay, and I wasn't asking, and I just wanted to be a part of a big hit song, and he did that for free.
Yep.
That's cool.
I knew it was one of the greats.
Oh, man. That Slash is an awesome Dirty Diana. Slash was Dirty Diana. that song.
I didn't know that. I'm a Michael Jackson super fan.
Did Dirty Diana.
Wow. Yep. All right.
That's actually really cool.
I heard Ella Langley in a song driving back from Ohio today.
There you go.
What are they talking about when they're calling you Pit Stop Zach?
Because he won't stop. He won't stop when he's on trips. Remember? Stop,
Zach. I'm going to go tell Leah that. She's going to die. But they were calling me Pit Stop Zach.
How many stops did you make?
From Ohio or from Chicago to here?
Yeah. How many times did you stop?
We can't make it from
here. Three times today.
We can't make it from here to Opelika without stopping, my family.
We stopped once, Kyle, on the way up to Ohio with three kids. And
oh, my goodness. How do you pull that off?
I got roasted for that. I just got absolutely wrecked for that.
I don't know how you swing that. I just don't. It was every 3 or 4 hours when I had young kids.
I didn't fight it today because y'all got me like second guessing all of my decisions.
Yeah. Now.
So this is why I don't read the comments.
Oh man, that's good stuff. We can't. Yeah, we have to stop frequently. Of course, I'm 40 now, so you know
it doesn't bother me to stop. I get out, stretch out the old twigs, and
we're stopping as much for me at 45 as we are for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I felt bad today because at our first stop, my kids wanted a drink or whatever, and I'm like, I'm getting me a coffee, like I'm not going to tell you no. And then I'm like, as soon as we got down the road like 20 minutes, they already had to, like, they had to stop again to go to the bed. I'm like, that was my fault, like I should have just not gotten any drinks, but it's okay.
So ready for football. I'm watching Auburn season be simulated on NCAA. LOL. Where if we started off 5-0 though, that's awesome.
That's,
thank you, Maddox.
How electric will this show be if Auburn starts off 5-0,
y'all know how obnoxious we would be.
That's a win at Tennessee. Yeah. Can you imagine the Barncast after a win at Tennessee to start 5-0?
It's happening.
The fan base will be so impossible to deal with.
Brad, that's one of the ones I'm planning on going to on the road. Nice. It's Tennessee.
I just can't wait. I don't even know what I'll do with my hands if Auburn is 5-0. I will be very obnoxious, that's for sure. It'll be fun.
After we beat Baylor, I'm just going to be like, yeah, we're back.
When did you start?
That's what we did last year.
When did you start the original podcast? Your original podcast, what year?
Is it 19?
I took a long break after Burrow beat us. What year was that?
18.
So I probably started.
No, that was 19. That was 19.
He beat us in both years, I think.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah.
But they were number one in 19. It was a home game in 18.
So I think I started in 18.
Really? So you've yet to have, obviously we the barn has not seen it.
I was just on audio for the Iron Bowl in 19 and for the Final Four in 19. I remember that. I was just on audio. Yeah.
I mean, 19 wasn't bad. I mean, 19, all in all, I mean, College World Series appearance, Final Four, beat Alabama, won 9 games. Wasn't bad.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So you have, but like, we haven't really had a really good football season to cover since we've been doing this, which is, I'm really ready for that to turn. Because you started on video after Harsin was hired, I think. Like somewhere in there after Harsin was hired, we started video.
Mm-hmm.
And we just haven't had a good, really good product yet to have fun with. So hopefully we change it this year.
If Zach could say War Eagle more, we'd probably have more wins.
JD and Courtney.
That's a stupid narrative. I'm sorry. It's stupid.
We are starting 5-0. JD and Courtney Miller.
I like it.
6088.
I love that.
Yes.
I love it.
Need a fresh boog take from Charlie Five. What do you think the definition of a boog take is?
Super homer take, I guess.
If you said something like if Auburn starts 5-0, it'll also start 6-0. I think that would be a fresh boog take.
If Auburn starts 5-0, they win 10 games.
There you go. That's the one that popped into my mind. I was thinking.
That's a good take.
That's good.
How about that?
And how about if they win 10 games, you're knocking on the playoff door.
I think you're in.
You're in at 10. No question you're in.
With this schedule, you are.
10, absolutely. You're in. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's
I mean, guys, like, even if we win 8 games, there is a chance that the college football playoff committee sees Gavin Jenkins and is like, we got to put this guy.
That guy equals ratings.
Sure.
No one will watch the CFP if Gavin Jenkins isn't in it.
Oh, God. How awesome is it going to be when he's actually really good?
Zach, oh, he's talking about being obnoxious. Y'all just wait.
Zach's going to be unbearable.
When he intercepts,
like 6 days where we thought Hank Brown was good, yeah. Just wait. That was nothing. That was nothing.
You have never seen a level of hype.
Just think, what if Gavin Jenkins gets the game sealing interception either against Baylor or Tennessee or Georgia?
My soul will leave my body.
No, this yeah. You can tell you what will happen, Brad. Not only will Zach say War Eagle, he'll go roll Tumor's Corner.
He'll do both.
He'll do both.
And he'll just throw his phone away because it'll explode.
Oh, man. That's like awesome. Whenever – remember when I kept talking about throwing fades to Rivaldo Fairweather?
Yeah.
They threw one to him against Cal. And everybody – my phone started melting.
Well, I just love it because there were, like, two people in particular that kept calling you, like, stupid for that. Like, you got to quit talking about that. It's a terrible play. And then it happened.
And it won the game.
You're like, yeah.
I love jump balls. I still love jump balls.
I thought we were going to throw more fades to Camden Brown. I thought he was like the fade machine, and it just never happened.
He had a highlight clip of the weekend over the weekend for the Cowboys.
He's balling.
He caught a one-handed touchdown catch in the corner of the end zone. It was pretty sick.
That's cool.
Y'all got anything else? Fired up for fall camp?
Fired up. Let's go.
Jacob J. Zach, corner guy, Blackberry. Yeah, as everybody knows. Everybody knows this guy, Zach Blackberry.
Dude loves corners. There's no doubt about that. Dap, appreciate you joining. Zach,
no problem.
Obviously, glad you're home.
The reference, and I feel like he's made that joke 30 times.
The Blackberry? Oh, yeah, of course. I loved it. It's hilarious. Somebody sent me an email with a Blackberry graphic. I forgot to download
it. Well, you know where that comes from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was Jason Campbell, right? Okay. He called you Blackberry. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody knows this guy.
And, hey, and said Brett, that was Brett the key Edens, line. Yeah.
Brett Edens talked about it when we did Village.
Everybody knows this guy.
Yeah. It was hilarious. Knows
this guy, Zach and Blackberry.
He didn't say the name of the show right either. He said locked in Auburn or whatever.
Well, there you go.
Dude, Brett was great, by the way. That was a good.
Oh, that was great.
I was surprised, too, because y'all didn't give me a heads up. So I watched it for the first time, and it was like, it was a surprise. It was like when you're watching an Avengers movie and there's a cameo that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like.
The theater yells.
Go see Spider-Man. It's good.
Good.
Everybody saw Spider-Man this weekend. There were thousands of people at the Opelika Theater. It was crazy.
Well, that's the only one we have left here now that the one in Auburn shut down. Yeah. So if you want to go see a movie here.
They didn't tell anybody. It just kind of happened.
No, it was just gone.
I'll say this, what, too.
What's in that building now? Is it just
nothing? It's empty.
Yeah, skeletons. Nothing's in there.
Oh, we should do a barn studio in there.
Let's just buy it. It's for sale.
Let's just buy it.
I'm sure it's $3 million.
Right? It's a realtor. Yeah. Make that happen.
Yeah, we'll do it.
All right,
guys. We're going to get out of here. Thank you all for joining in. We got practice this week. We got basketball in Greece later this week, I think, too. Like, man, it's a fun week of activities, and we'll keep you covered. Make sure you check us. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe, and we'll talk again very, very soon. We're out of here, and I'm going to say it. We're damn Eagle.